this time, you're about to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, as we continue our study of the life of David. A reading from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Begin with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now when the king was selling his house, and the Lord gave him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I was brought up with the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent tabernacle, where I have moved about among all my people of Israel. Did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus saying, you shall say to David, my servant, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut you off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more. As formerly from the time that I appointed judges over the people of Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days were fulfilled, and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you. He shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be sure before me. Your throne will be established forever." In accordance with these words, and with all of this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then David went in and stood before the Lord and said, "Here am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you brought me thus far? And yet this is a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant house for a great while to come. May this be instruction to the people, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because your promise, according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness, that your servant may know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Who is like your people, O Israel? Is there another nation on earth whose God went to redeem it as a people, and to make a name for himself, doing great and awesome things before them, by driving out before his people nations and their gods? And you establish your people Israel for yourself to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, Lord God, as a word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, confirm it forever. Do as you have promised. Thus your name will be magnified forever in the saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer before you. And now, O Lord God, you are God. Your words are true, and your promise is a good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. So this morning, I want to talk to you about, for a few moments, about King David and the Lord. And maybe call last Sunday, talk about how King David came in rejoicing and celebrating, dancing through the street, because the Ark of the Covenant had been brought up to the land of Israel and to the city of Jerusalem. And we talked about previously how David had conquered Jerusalem as his capital, and that King Hiram up the road sent cedars and carpenters and craftsmen to build David a palace. And now in chapter 7, we see that David is at a good point in his life. It says, when the king was selling his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. In other words, the country is at peace. David had defeated the enemies of Israel. A time of peace and prosperity. And there was David sitting in that palace. And he was convicted. And he called the prophet Nathan. And he says, no, Nathan, I've been thinking, no, I live in this nice palace, wood. But the Ark of the Covenant is out in the tent. And Nathan here kind of jumped the gun and says, well, go and do all you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that night, the Lord spoke to Nathan and says, you know, Nathan, I spend all my time in the tent. Now, when I led the people out of Egyptian bondage, and under my servant Moses, and Moses had that one gentleman to build a tabernacle and the furniture with it, and the Ark of the Covenant. And I was a God who moved around with my people through the tribes. And not one time did I tell the tribal leaders to build me a temple. And now I have a message I want you to give to David. Thus says the Lord, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I've been with you wherever you went. Tell David, no, David, I remember back when you were following the sheep around. And now you're the king of the people. You're the shepherd of my flock, Israel. He said, I've been with you wherever you went. Cut off all your enemies before you. And we'll make for you a great name, like the names of the great ones on the earth. Now, we know that promise is true because we've had an entire summer of sermons about David. Not many kings can say they got talked about every Sunday around the world, can they? And then God makes a covenant with David. Listen to this. Now, a covenant is not a contract. A covenant is a sacred promise God makes with people. He made a covenant with Noah, never flooded the world. So when you see that rainbow, that's what that's about. God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham, you and Sarah will have a son. You name him Isaac, meaning laughter. And Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse through, and through you all nations shall be blessed. And this covenant with King David is building on that covenant. I will appoint for you a place of my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. Now that's a promise we're still waiting on to be fulfilled. Obviously Israel is a troubled land. But we do believe when Christ comes, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world and be a land of peace and prosperity. And he talks about how moreover the Lord declares the Lord will make you a house. Now, these verses deal both with King Solomon, his son, who will be born, but also someone else. Now, the parts that definitely deal with Solomon talks about when he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals, use blows, but I will not take my steadfast love from him. Your house, your kingdom be made sure forever, and your throne be established forever. Now, what that means is, if you go further into the future, King Solomon, for somebody who was so wise, did some very stupid things. And one of the stupid things he did, he had 700 wives and 700 mother-in-laws. And these wives led his heart away from the Lord his God. And the Lord had talked to him about it and warned him. And then in the end, judgment came. And the Lord says, Solomon, because you turn your heart away from me and these false gods, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. However, because of the love of your father David, I'm going to do it after you die. Parents, grandparents, it's important how you live your life. By living a godly life, God may show mercy and grace upon your kids and grandkids when they don't even deserve it. Kids, grandkids, you hear that? God might be showing you mercy, not because you did anything special, you messed up. But he did because of the love he had for your parents and grandparents who walked in his ways. And of course, Solomon dies. His son, Rehoboam, comes up. Rehoboam's a fool. And in a matter of days, the kingdom splits in two, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. But God and his faithfulness kept him on the throne in Jerusalem. And of course, years later, the Babylonians came and hauled him off. And you would think that'd be the end of the story of the line of the kings. But listen to some of these verses. Because these verses also have a dual meaning. And sometimes folks get confused about this and don't realize when the prophet spoke of old that these prophecies had both a short-term and a long-term meaning to them. They serve a double purpose. Now listen to this. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you. He shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Now, if you think about that, those words can have a double meaning, can't they? David, after you're dead and gone, I'm going to raise up one of your descendants who's got your DNA. I'm going to establish his kingdom. He shall be the one to build a house for me. And I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Now, who does that sound like? You know, in a few weeks, I'll be back in Luke on that journey to Bethlehem. And what did Gabriel tell the Virgin Mary in Nazareth? Hail, everyone, the Lord has found favor with you. You shall conceive and bear a son. He shall be great and called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor, David. And he shall reign over the house of Israel forever, and his kingdom shall know no end. Those are words that echo this prophecy. Mary will give birth to Jesus, and he will be the one who will inherit the throne of King David and establish that kingdom forever, fulfilling the Lord's promise. And then on Christmas, the shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks by night, the angels appear, and what did the angels say? Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy. For born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, remember, David came from Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. The first people to hear the news of his birth were the shepherds in the fields. What did David do when he was a kid? God knowing his king, he was a shepherd washing the flocks in the fields. You see, it all ties in so beautifully. The promise is David's short-term promise is, I will keep your kingdom going for a few generations. But the long-term promise is, a Messiah will come. He will inherit the throne, and his kingdom shall last forever. King of kings, Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then David breaks out in the song and says, Who am I, O Lord? Because of your promise, according to your own heart, you brought all this greatness, so your servant may know it. Therefore, you are great, Lord God, for there is no one like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And he ends by saying, And now, Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you promise this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so they may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. And so David blesses the Lord, and asks the Lord to bless his house. Okay. Parents, grandparents, that's on you. What does it mean to bless your house? That means to bless your family. Lord, I ask your blessings upon my family. Take care of my children. Take care of my grandchildren. Some of you guys say, Lord, take care of my great-grandchildren, right? You've been triply blessed. Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. I can't think of a greater gift a godly parent, grandparent, or great-grandparent can do than say, Lord, bless my family. And especially when you go through and you pray for your children and your grandchildren, great-grandchildren by name. Not that little lay-me-down-sleep prayer, but by name. The Lord told David, David, I'm going to raise up someone after you, one of your descendants. His kingdom shall reign forever. Your throne will be established forever. We find that promise and fulfillment of the coming of Jesus Christ. And David in turn says, Thank you, Lord. There is no God like you. I just ask, Lord, you bless my family. You know, that's a good prayer for all of us. Lord, bless my kids. Bless my grandkids. Bless my great-grandchildren. Some of us, we got to say, Lord, bless my nephews. Bless my nieces. Bless my great-nephews and great-nieces. Okay? Lord, you're so good and gracious. Ask you to be a blessing to my family. And what a great thing on this day to say about our youth, our grandparents, to think, Lord, be that God of our family. As Joshua says, choose this day who shall serve. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. All right. And at this time, I invite you to open your red hymnal to page 57. As Miss Cadence comes down to lead us to sing, Amazing Grace, verses 1 and 2.